Let's see, maybe we could begin with the state of the language. How does that strike you? How many children do you see that are beginning school that speak Miccosukee? What proportion do you suppose?
I think it's dying out myself. Uh-huh. I think it's not like it used to be. You know, when you used to come a long time ago, most people spoke Miccosukee. Now there's I'm guilty in my own family.
Yeah.
Like the kids I have at home, my oldest son is fluent. My second daughter understands everything you say, but chooses to answer back in English. My other daughter understands some, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then going down, my son's 26 and he's fluent. My daughter's 24, she understands everything, but she speaks mostly English. Huh. And then I have a big span, then my 15-year-old doesn't know enough to carry on a conversation. She knows certain things that I'm talking about, but she can't sit there and carry on with my grandmother.
Yeah.
And then my younger ones, I have a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they only know like colors, animal names.
Yeah.
Like sit down, be quiet, like certain phrases, but they can't carry on a conversation.
Why is that? You don't talk in...
Partly is my fault. My husband is more of a Creek speaker, and I don't speak Creek, and I speak Miccosukee, and I'm trying to like teach him at the same time, so we tend to use English more than we should, and I don't think... I think it's never too late. We could, you know, we're still trying to reinforce it, and our little ones are picking up more as they go on. But also, we both work, and the daycare we have here is mostly Spanish people, non-Indian people, so they don't hear it at daycare all day long either. So
the other kids don't speak it.
A lot of them don't. There's a few there, but and they try to do culture education, but that's only a couple, you know, maybe an hour in the school system.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot of it's changed because, see, back then, like my mom didn't work. She stayed home and took care of the kids.
Yeah.
And my grandparents lived right next door, so we were always around our grandparents, and they didn't speak English, so that's all we talked.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters and I are all fluent. Yeah. So that's the language we grew up with.
Yeah.
And now that it takes two families, two incomes, you know, and everything. I think everybody's too busy working, and you can't find babysitters that speak the language anymore. And before, grandparents helped a lot in the raising too. Like my grandmother's, is 100 and something, so she can't babysit, you know, so she can't keep up with the little ones.
What's her name?
Susie Billy.
Oh, Susie Billy. Yes, I've heard. Yeah. Supposed to be the oldest living somewhere.
I take my kids over there a lot to help kind of care for her and keep her company sometimes. And she speaks the language to them, but I have to be like the middle person and kind of explain, go back and forth between the two.
Yeah. Do you know any other families around here where the small children speak Miccosukee?
There's a few, but like I said, a lot of the moms don't work.
Yeah.
Some of the moms that don't work that stay home, their kids are more fluent because I think they have more time to talk to them. And if you're married to a Miccosukee man and you both speak Miccosukee, sure, it makes it easier, too. But where if you have someone that's not Miccosukee speaking as a partner, then you have a problem there, too.
Yeah, and there's been a lot more outmarriages.
There's more intermarriages now than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I was impressed by that.
Yeah, quite a few. There's quite a bit now.
Mm-hmm. Mexicans and...
Yeah, there's a lot of Spanish, blacks, whites.
Indians from other parts of the country.
A lot of our kids go off to boarding school and they marry. They bring back like an Oklahoma Indian or a Cherokee. So we have a lot of intermarriages, and that makes it hard because they don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
Some of the other tribes don't even speak a language anymore.
Yeah. What about the Miccosukees on the trail? Is the situation
over there
different?
They pretty much, to me, they keep the language. And a lot of it is they still use it in their. They have their own school and they try to. They use it quite a bit.
So they got Miccosukee teachers in the school.
Yeah, they have Miccosukee teachers.
But it isn't true in Afatski.
No, we have a lot of non-Indian teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have one Indian teacher, but she's out of state. She's not from here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like Seminole teacher aides, but I don't think they enforce speaking the language as much because they're just teaching regular.
Yeah.
They're like teacher's aid, but they're assisting in regular classroom activities. Then we have a culture program, which you probably remember Teresa.
Yes.
She teaches that.
Uh-huh.
And so they have like a certain time they go to her, and she works with them.
Yeah.
And then like in Immokalee, my mother teaches culture classes up there, and she tries to teach the crafts and the language. And she said a lot of times some of the kids don't come to the, after school, and they don't
I
come
I stopped
sometimes.
In there the other day, and I must have met her, about three women in the...
Yeah, Agnes is my mother.
Yes, she was there, yeah. Yeah, and two little boys, but they were speaking, well, they spoke a little Miccosukee, and then they left. And
In Brighton, they're working on some kind of curriculum with a Dr. Granberry, I think is his
name.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
Yeah, they
I think that's a bad idea.
They're doing something with him, but I don't know to what extent.
I don't think he's very well qualified.
Really?
And I don't know who to speak to. Knock him, but...
Probably, I think, when I first met him, it was through education program, Willie Johns, and I met him in Tampa, and he was talking about another tribe that barely had a language that they worked with.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, Brighton got in with him, and they're doing something there, but that's for Creek, and I haven't heard anything about Miccosukee.
Yeah.
But as far as my own life, you know, I'm trying. I catch myself speaking more English than anything else, and I try. And my little, and I always tell my older ones too that I have two stepsons I've raised since they were like 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just good with language.
Yes.
And one of them, he's learning quite a bit, you know. And when I talk to him and stuff, and I try to explain to him, so I still try to use it. And then I have a nephew who's living with me that lived with my grandmother before he moved in, and he's fluent.
Uh-huh.
And he's away at school right now, so he gets a little rusty because he's not around Indian kids.
Yeah.
When he comes back, I try to encourage him to talk more at the house.
Yeah. Huh. So what would you guess? How many 10-year-olds at Big Cypress are fluent?
Golly. I figure there's probably about 3 or 4 families out here that is close to fluent as far as their kids go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The younger kids, you'll have more older kids that are still fluent.
And worse than that in Hollywood?
I think it would be Hollywood.
And Brighton?
Brighton, they speak Creek, so it's hard for me to say because I speak Miccosukee.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, there's probably more, but a lot of the kids know it. When their parents talk to them, they won't speak back either. They'll speak back in English.
Yeah.
But at home, they'll probably speak Indian, but in front of other people, a lot of times, maybe their pronunciation's a little off and they're worried about other peers laughing and stuff like that, because I've seen that happen too.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody else was telling me that was one of the difficulties. That
or
children made fun of
them. Yeah, or you'll have other kids that kind of know it. And they'll laugh at the ones trying to learn it because they're a little off.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen too. I would like to, you know, see more time spent on teaching it in school.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like Spanish. They make our kids, when they go to high school, they want them to learn, take Spanish as a language.
Yeah.
And I always feel like if they already have a language, they should let them use that as a credit and have somebody teach them in their own language. I mean, I hate to be that way, but
then
you
need teachers.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
And teaching material. And,
like myself, I speak it fluent, but I can't read it.
Yeah.
Like somebody writes it out, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what it's saying because I never learned how to write it out.
What happened to David West's program for teaching people? It didn't last.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Then we had another...
Ben Williams.
He was out here and he learned the language. And then he left, but I don't think it was ever, I don't think they really developed anything that much to teach other people. I mean, I guess they might have at one point.
They were doing Bible translating and stuff.
Yeah, it was more Christian church
things,
I think.
But then West went down to the trail and was working with Miccosukee for a while.
I don't know what.
But I don't know what happened. Because the system he used was, I thought, good.
Uh-huh.
But very like the one that I use.
The cultural program... For a while, I think they were concentrating too much on crafts. like beadwork, basket.
Yeah.
And I think James wanted him to concentrate more on language.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted. And now I think that's where they're trying to...
Yeah.
That's why the cranberry person came in. Granberry or...
Granberry. Granberry, yeah.
Cranberry. Granberry.
Yeah.
Person came in the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think the only answer really is immersion programs.
Uh-huh. It's like you got to live it.
Yeah.
You got to speak it and live it.
Yeah, but then
all
you
the
have
time.
To, you have to set up a system to make that work.
But when I talk to the kids, not just my kids, but other kids, I had a couple of them. They asked us to show them some plants on a field trip.
Yeah.
So me and my mom took the kids from Ofwatchee, and they were talking about medicine and different things and plants. And then one of the girls asked me, "But what if you don't speak the language? Then how are we going to learn?" Because I told them I'm trying to preserve. That's a project I'm doing, trying to preserve the medicine part, because that's dying out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was telling her, there's still ways. You can't just say, "I can't." You're just going to have to try.
Yeah.
I said, because that's what I did for so long. I grew up with my grandmother doing medicine all these years, and I was always with her, going out to the woods, listening to songs, but yet I just never really got into it. I just kind of chose to watch TV, hang out with my friends and everything. And as I got older, it was like all of a sudden, that's something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I see her dying someday, you know, she's over 100, and that's something I want to save.
Yeah.
And so I've started trying to learn, and I've gotten pretty good with the plants, and now I'm practicing the chants, and I'm not that good at it yet, but I figured... Took her all those years.
Yeah.
I can't just learn it just like that. And I might not ever learn all of it, but at least something will be there. And I told her, it doesn't matter if you don't learn the language, at least try to learn the concept of your culture. I mean, how to act around people, what the rules are. If you can learn all that, and, you know, just don't give up hope. You know, you just can't say, I can't.
How to conduct a conversation while sitting back to back looking in opposite directions.
Or elders, you know, if you're with your elders, how to respect them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I see a lot of youth jump up and go ahead of them.
Yeah.
And I said, that's one of the teachings.
Yeah.
They go first.
Yeah.
Or if they're talking to you, don't butt in, you know, even if you don't like what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the kind of things that we were raised with my grandparents.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to instill that with mine.
I guess it's still working.
Yeah, it's still going. It's going.
There's a red light that goes on at some point, but I don't remember where it is, and it runs out to the end of the reel.
Don't mind me, I'll ramble on and on.
No, that's okay. That's good. That's the kind of stuff I wanted to know. So, there really isn't any formal language teaching in the schools now, or...
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of curriculum Teresa uses, but she's trying.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's...
Yeah. Well, I've been kind of intrigued by listening, overhearing adults, what, 40, 50, 60, and very often the conversations in Miccosukee. I don't know whether that's because I'm there and they're... hiding it from me, or whether that's normal, or
it's normal. Like if I'm with somebody my age group and they're fluent, I grew up with them. We do that a lot. We converse back and forth.
Yeah.
You'll hear Miccosukee, and then all of a sudden there'll be English phrases, and then we go back to Miccosukee, and we'll be on back and forth.
Yeah. What causes the shift? Nobody has studied this kind of thing, as far as I know. It's probably just
habit, you know, and then sometimes the certain expressions, we might think maybe it's expressed better in English or something, and we go back and forth. But a lot of us, you know, Mary Jean, her uncle was, her grandpa was Albert Billy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her and I hang out together quite a bit, and we're like that. We'll be talking away in Indian, and next thing we know, we're saying a few phrases in English, and then we go back to the other way and go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if Spanish people do that or not. I don't know if they just
think
space.
So. I was married to a Burmese woman for a while. And I was very impressed by she and her friends, provided that they were bilingual, really bilingual, in English and Burmese. And I'd be listening, and suddenly they'd switch, and then they'd go on in English for a while, and then suddenly they'd switch back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what causes the switch? Sometimes it's saying a word in the other language because there isn't a convenient equivalent.
Yeah.
And once they switch, say the word in the other language, then they continue switch for back. A while in that language, and then, so I don't know if you
yeah, I think we way. Do that too, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of related. I was curious, when I was here before, it seemed to me that, maybe I was wrong, that people never said Seminole, Seminole, for the language of the people, but it meant wild and not. Is that still the case? Or do you, when you're speaking Miccosukee, do you say, speaking of the tribe, for example, what word do you use?
When we're speaking about ourselves?
Yeah.
Sometimes I say our people.
How do you say that?
Punyatave.
Say it again.
Punyatave.
Punyatave.
Mm-hmm. Punyatave, that's like, yatave is like people. Punyatave, that's punyatave is our people. So a lot of times I say that instead of saying Seminole.
And then there's another way, is there not a, what is it, in? I forgot the word. The language is called what?
Aponyat. Or Ilaponget. A lot of people say Ilaponget.
Ilaponget.
Means like, you know, our language. Ilaponget. So that's the thing with Miccosukee. You can say it several different ways.
Yeah.
Some people say Pumaponget is like still our language. Pumaponget. Or I've heard people say Ilaponget.
What's the il? Ilaponge.
Ilaponge is still saying language.
But the il, the first part, first syllable, if aponge is speech or language?
Yeah. Ilaponge is like saying your own language. I don't know how to describe it in English, but Ilaponge.
But the pomaponge, the pom is our, right?
Yeah, right. Pomaponge.
Yeah.
Ilaponge could mean like the language. It's probably a better way to say it.
Uh-huh. What about Chishaponge?
That's Creek.
And what's the Chi then?
I don't know. Creek I haven't really tried to learn.
Yeah.
And when you're learning medicine songs, some words are in Creek.
Yeah.
And then some are the old language that they spoke way back then.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it difficult because you're like trying to learn something foreign.
Yeah.
I love plants, so plants came easy to me.
Yeah.
And how to mix and how to do all the other stuff. But it was the chants itself, the songs, is what's hard.
Yeah. Do people say Seminole, meaning the people?
I've just heard young people say Seminole tribe, but
yeah,
I never hardly hear old people saying,
because
Seminole is like you said, it's something not tamed or like an animal or a wild animal.
Because
when you say Shilamowuktik, that's also meaning not tamed. Shilamowuktik. Shilamowuktik. Have you ever noticed that you speak fine until you start trying to teach somebody else and it's like you start doubting your own pronunciation?
Yeah.
Shilamokte is like not being used to or not.
Huh?
It could even refer to like a woman not being used to the husband, you know, like Shilamokte, not used to the person or not attached.
Or, so you say that?
Or you can even say that about a dog or.
So it's more or less equivalent to Shimanuli? No.
Shilamokte is like not tame, not. Shimanuli is also like you can be talking about, you know, a hog, a dog, a horse, or.
What about Miccosukee? Can you use that word in Indian?
What do you mean? Like.
What is. I only know it in English. Miccosukee. Can you say it in? What's the source of that? doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And you don't say it in Indian?
What do you mean? I've heard people just say Migashoge, that's all.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But then if you were to break it down, it's not like you're saying king pig.
Yeah, yes. Not, yeah. I've heard that too, I don't believe it. But.
Uh-huh. Because shoge is pig.
Yeah.
Mige is like a king.
But it ought to be the other way around, shouldn't it? Shoge mige.
Yeah, but then that would be backward.
Yeah.
Migashoge.
Yeah. But you say younger people sometimes say that for Mikasuki?
No, older people.
Older people.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Most young people say Mikasuki.
Uh-huh. In a Mikasuki.
Just
saying,
just saying Mikasuki.
Yeah. And the same way for the Mikasuki tribe, if you're referring to them, how do you refer to them?
Mikasuki.
In Mikasuki, you say?
Just saying Mikasuki.
Mikasuki.
Yeah.
Hmm. Good. That solves one of my problems, because the rule is for this encyclopedia, we've got to give the names of the tribes in their own language as well as in English.
We just call them Mikasuki.
Yeah.
But to me, Shoge is Mikasuki in our language. But Mige, isn't that more Creek? That's what I think.
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Miko.
That's Creek, isn't
Creek.
It?
Yeah,
so Mige must be Mikasuki then.
Yeah. Mikosuke, but Shoge. There was an old town, the old records mention a town that's spelled
like
Mikasuki
that.
Somewhere in North Florida, but I suppose it's maybe more likely in Creek than Mikasuki, since the records more often quote Creek.
The lady that works in trail in out there, Mikasuki,
mm-hmm.
her name's Ginny Billy. She does a lot of the cultural things,
uh-huh.
school stuff, and
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how they're doing their language stuff over
yeah.
there.
What, Jenny?
Ginny.
Ginny.
Billy. I think it's Jenni. She does the culture program for the trail. Her and my mom, they went to that thing that Mikasuki was having up in Key Largo. They were up there.
Uh-huh.
They invited me to go, but I didn't go.
Yeah.
So I... I don't work with the language as much as far as trying to preserve stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working more with the medicine,
uh-huh.
medicine part, or
uh-huh.
like maybe traditions, maybe things that she wants to hand down, like maybe a few legends, you know, stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, and
mm-hmm.
plants and things like that. But I haven't really concentrated too much on the language, but whatever she breaks down when she's teaching me, some of the words I don't know.
Yeah.
The older words, she'll
yeah.
try to break that down for me and stuff, or tell me what they're talking about when they're singing.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's just something I started doing,
yeah.
trying to preserve, and I have my own way of trying to write things out to remember in my mind.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't have like a certain way of spelling certain things.
But one of the problems is this sound.
Mm-hmm.
How you write that? I usually write with an L with a line through it. But
what I've been doing is just, I don't know the English names for the plants except a few,
mm-hmm.
but the way she says it in Mikasuki might refer to an animal or something. So what I do is I don't write the Indian word, I write whatever it's talking about,
uh-huh.
and that's how
so
it clicks.
Translate
yeah,
it somehow.
That's how it clicks into my head, and that's
mm-hmm.
how I keep track of what I'm learning.
Yeah.
And my mom laughs at me because she says, "Golly, you got a weird system." I say, "It works, though."
Yeah. Well, I recorded a couple of hundred plant names when I was working with Josie Billy
mm-hmm.
years and years ago. But 200 or 300, it was really amazing how many plants he recognized.
That's how my grandma is.
Yeah.
And I've been surprised how many I'm learning and remembering
yeah.
as I go along. So
yeah.
it's been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, another topic I was curious about how much emphasis there still is on clans. Does everybody know their clan, children included?
I think majority of them do, because most of them still try to instill that in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
They also do the clan system. Like, my son comes home and he says, oh, they were teaching us about clans today. And, and he knows what clan he is already from us.
Mm-hmm.
But they also teach it in school. But I don't think it's as strict as it used to be. I think some of the younger generation have messed around with the same clan before and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the strict punishment like they did back then.
Yeah.
Huh. We have some that are intermarried, and I think some make mistakes, and then they find out.
Yeah.
And then they do separate, go separate ways sometimes.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard. It's not so bad now, because there is intermarriages, I guess, but back then when you have smaller tribes and a lot of people are related to you,
there wasn't the possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some clans are bigger than others.
Yeah.
It's funny because the guys used to laugh and go, God, all the pretty girls are all my clan, and they'd be getting mad. Or, or like in Trail, I remember when we used to go there for corn dance and different events, first thing a boy would come up, they never asked you your name. They'd ask you what clan you were.
Uh-huh.
And if they found out you were the same clan, they didn't talk to you much. They went on their way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But if you were a different clan and they were interested in you, they'd talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's still, I think, pretty much. Yeah, they still pretty much keep that going.
What about names, Indian names?
Mm-hmm. They still do that quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Not everybody.
I don't know about Hollywood as much, because I'm not there that much.
Yeah.
I know here on the reservation I'm from, a lot of people still come to my grandmother and ask them to name the babies, or I think James Billy has named a few kids for people, and here they still, I think, try it. And I know in Miccosukee for sure they still keep the names too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Hollywood.
What do they do about men's names?
They do that during corn dance time.
Here too?
Mm-hmm. They still do that.
Mm-hmm.
They do that at all the corn dances. When you get your child's name, and when you get to be a certain age, you get a man name.
Yeah.
But the women keep the same name throughout.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it used to be, but in the 50s, I had the impression that Christians didn't get adult men's names.
I think some Christians don't. It all depends, like, what I've seen out here, and probably Hollywood and Brighton and everywhere else, even Brighton, it all depends on who they marry, how they're growing up. Because you have some, like in Brighton, marry a lot of non-Indian people. Then you have some, they get into this rodeo thing, and they get into the cowboy redneck stuff, and next thing you know, they don't do much of the Indian stuff anymore. Then you'll have some that do both.
Yeah.
They'll go to corn dance, still participate, do whatever, but they still, do the other stuff.
Yeah.
Then you have some people go to church, and once they're Christians, they don't want nothing to do with the medicine. It's like God is the only way.
Yeah.
And then you'll have some that do both.
Uh-huh.
So it all depends on your family structure and how you grow up. And like myself, I grew up with Indian medicine, and my grandparents went to church, but they still practiced the Indian medicine and traditional stuff.
Yeah.
So I believe, like for myself, I believe there's a God, but I also believe on the other stuff.
Yeah, and you went to Green Corn when you were young?
Mm-hmm. I still go now. My husband leads, and my kids dance, and play stickball, and and I try to do, I go out there and we have a chiki and we stay the 4 days and do whatever everyone else does out there.
That's a change.
Huh?
That's a change in the last 30, 40 years, huh? Christian didn't used to go, that's my impression.
Some Christians don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Christians still don't go, and then you have some that aren't church people, but they just don't want to go because they think it's nothing but partying and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what you make it out to be,
yeah.
You know. And I've gone to corn dance, and I don't go out there to drink. I go to, do the traditional stuff we do out there.
Yeah.
And the one we started here in Big Cypress, they don't allow alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
They've made it strict. They don't allow alcohol. You don't drink when you're out there, and you just do the medicine. And
it works.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's not that many young people are going to it because a lot of people, a lot of the young people have the wrong idea of green finance.
Yeah, I remember when I went to the one up at Brighton, and it was clear that alcohol was a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So
the one here is really nice,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's going to draw more people each year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad they did make it no alcohol.
It's just off the reservations.
Yeah, it's just right off the reservation from here.
So there's one here, there's one at Brighton.
Yeah, Yeehaw Junction. It used to be High Lola, but we moved. Mm-hmm. We bought property. It's in Yeehaw Junction, and then Trail Miccosukee has two of them.
Has two.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people go to all of them.
Uh-huh.
They'll go to one over here, and then go over here, and then go over here, and then go over here, and then you have some. They won't. Will go to one and won't go to the other, and then you'll have some that won't go to none at all. So it just depends. Yeah. Depends
is
on.
There,
the
is there a court day at the one here? Is it? Is there a? Do they judge people? Like they used to do?
No, they have rules. The one here, they like I said, they don't allow drinking.
Yeah, but they don't. They don't. It isn't kind of trying people for offenses during the previous year.
Mm-mm. They have. They still do marriages.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
If you want to get married out there, they still do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one rule about, they have rules about having no clan. The children that have no clan,
mm-hmm.
or the adults that don't have no clan, they have a special, here they have to sit at a special place.
Uh-huh.
And they're not allowed to do the medicine. They can dance, they can't leave.
Uh-huh.
They can dance and participate in just about everything, but they can't go in the big house, and they have certain rules that they follow.
Mm-hmm.
And as a mother or a father, that's your place. Tell your child so he doesn't get his feelings hurt or,
uh-huh.
you know, do the wrong thing. Like, I have my two stepboys have no clan because my husband was married to a non-Indian first time.
Uh-huh.
And so I've raised my two boys to know what areas they're allowed, what areas in.
Yeah.
And it hurts them a little bit
because
they go to one corn dance, the one in down towards Brighton, Yeehaw, they can participate just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the one here, they're stricter. So, and it's my relative that runs the one here,
mm-hmm.
so I have to teach them before I take them out there, and I ask them what are they allowed to do, what not to do, and they were hurt a little bit at first, and I said, that's just the way life is, so you just accept it, and if you marry a non-Indian girl down the line, you're going to be teaching your child the same thing.
And there's no way to get a clan if you don't have a...
Yeah.
It can't be adopted into a clan.
I don't think it's like a lot of Indians up north.
Yeah.
I know they have like those adoption giveaways and all that. No.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just let the child like take the father's clan a little bit, you know, just to say he's from that family.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you'll really never.
Yeah. What else was I going to ask you about?
But some of the church people that never used to go to those things, I was really surprised to see a couple of them come out to the one here. Maybe
mm-hmm.
because there was no alcohol involved.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't stay the whole time, but they came
mm-hmm.
out just to
mm-hmm.
look and
mm-hmm.
stayed for a little bit and they left.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes people change. Like the one preacher I know here never really was into the medicine part
mm-hmm.
when he got into church things, but as he got older and started having health problems, I noticed he started
uh-huh.
using the medicine, Indian medicine also, so
uh-huh.
a lot of things, I guess, depends on your circumstance.
Seems to be going.
Yeah.
What about hurricanes? Didn't you know anything about hurricanes, traditional? What do you call a hurricane in Miccosukee?
Means like big wind. Fablichichubit.
Fablichichubit.
Uh-huh. My grandmother or my mom probably know more about it, but I think my grandmother has said that they always kind of knew,
mm-hmm.
I think by different... I don't know if it was the wind or the climate, or I don't know how they knew some of the things when it was going to come.
There's an old newspaper story I saw that claimed that the animals behaved differently before a hurricane.
That's probably true.
I remember that.
I know that they said that a lot of times they didn't, they had a special, I don't know if it was like a lean-to or something they made that stayed close to the ground, I think, so they could stay there until it passed.
Mm-hmm.
But she said they always tried not to be under pine trees, because pine trees always broke easy.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd find you a spot where there wasn't a lot of pine.
Mm-hmm.
And she could probably tell you more about how they how they hid or how they made their houses, because she's been through some hurricanes when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember all the details.
Is there any medicine to?
I think they used to have certain medicines that would supposedly turn them around or made them go the other way.
Yeah.
But she said that not too many. I think she just not anyone really knows it anymore, and I think she's forgotten also.
Uh-huh.
But they had medicine. From what she tells me, they had medicine for all sorts of things back then. The war, how to hide themselves,
yeah.
You know, how to cover your tracks.
Yeah.
She said there was some people that was really into those kind of stuff a long time ago, and then, and they have to be, because how else would they have lived all that time? Snake bites, you know, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Something to eat.
I know.
Just when you can't farm.
So you had to have a lot of willpower and mind power and a lot of knowledge just to survive, I think.
Yeah. That brings up another thing. I remember Josie Billy telling me he was close to his grandmother, who, as far as I could figure, must have been an adult at the time of the Second Seminole War. So she must have been born 1820 or something like that. And he said that people of her generation, when they gave names, they often referred to something that happened during wartime. Did you ever hear that?
The names, I'm pretty sure during that time, that's what they did too. And my grandmother, when she names children, she either does it like, let's say when I was younger and it was my child, maybe there were certain things I behaved like or did or something about me when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
She might get something from that and name my child that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be named after a deceased person, an older person, like her brothers or her aunt or someone like that, someone deceased, so you want them to carry on the name, but you try to make sure you didn't give it to somebody else, make sure you don't have two people with the same name.
Yeah.
Or it could be from a medicine song, something from Indian medicine could be picked out of there, like one of my daughters is named from a medicine chant, and then my other daughter is named from also a lot of my kids have medicine, Indian medicine chant pieces in there, and could have been the way the dad behaved or something during the pregnancy. It's just, or she might have dreamed something while you were pregnant, because one of the children I had, she had a dream, and it was somebody she knew from a long time ago, so she named my little boy that. It's different stuff.
Yeah. The only one I remember, and I can't remember the Miccosukee that Josie Billy told me, it was meant goes around, and it was about hiding from the soldiers in a hammock or something.
It was probably an old, I bet you it was an old word.
Yeah, maybe. But it was because the namer, I don't know whether it's something that happened to the person who gave the name or whether it was just a traditional wartime name, wartime experience.
And like when I was growing up, I never called my grandma by her Indian name. I never knew it because you just didn't do that when you were younger. So we always called her Mom or Grandma.
Yeah.
And so when I had my last child, she's four now, and my grandmother's still living. And I asked her, I said, I know it's usually people that's moved on, died, but I said, you know, I really want her to have your Indian name because you're really old now, and if you go on and I don't know your name, I won't be able to hand it down. And so I was wondering if I could have your permission to have you name her after yourself. And she said she would, so my youngest one is named after her. So, and that was the first time I ever heard her name. I never even knew her
name.
Huyaniche. Huyaniche.
Huyaniche.
Uh-huh. Huyaniche. That's my grandma's Indian name.
Huyaniche.
Uh-huh. We call my little girl Yanni for short. We call her Yanni for short, but it's Huyaniche. And my brother just had a baby recently, and she gave him one of her relatives' name. I was trying to remember what it was. It's like, I think it sounds similar to hers, but it's Huyaniche. And he told her, you can call her Kuni for short. And he said, don't call her Kuni, though. That's skunk. So he said, call her Kuni, but don't be getting mixed up and calling your daughter a skunk.
What does Huyaniche mean?
I think it also comes from an old word for something in a medicine, so. See, a lot of her family has names from, like, medicine songs and stuff. Like my daughter, it's Yohenke, one of my daughters.
Yohenke.
And it's from a chant of to attract someone, like trying to attract the opposite sex. It's from a piece of a chant from that.
Maybe I should turn it over, just be on the safe side.
It'll probably stop. It usually just stops on its own.
Yeah, it just stops.
Yeah, it'll stop and then you have
to. If we know that it's,
yeah.
If we hear it stop, okay.
It'll be like a click. Yeah. Usually just like a click, so.
Yeah. Anything more about hurricanes?
That's all I know, but when are you leaving Saturday?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. I've got to catch a train and Sunday at 4 o'clock in Orlando. So I thought I'd start on Saturday in order to be sure I got there. So if you had some time on Saturday.
I was trying to think if you wanted, if I can bring her here. She loves to eat chicken wings, so maybe I'll bring her up here, and then you can. I can ask her for you about the hurricane part.
That would be neat.
Yeah, that way, because she can give you a better detail than I can.
That would be nice.
What is tomorrow, Wednesday?
Tomorrow's Wednesday, yeah. Tomorrow. I was going to talk to Teresa Osceola tomorrow from 10:15 to 11:30. Then on Friday, I got to go down on the trail to talk to Buffalo Tiger. But otherwise, I'm...
Maybe tomorrow, right after lunch or something?
Sure,
like 1 o'clock?
That would be neat.
Okay.
That would be
I'll just bring her here.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, just wanted to ask about that and see what she says. Because she remembers, because she's told me about when the weather got bad and stuff.
Good. And please, the hurricane people in the Smithsonian.
Because she's the one that's lived through some of those,
yeah.
So she'd be a best.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah, well, let me see. Now it's blinking. Red light.
Is that saying it's going to be off soon?
I think it's going to be off soon. Let me see.